Distributor logo. Connect.
White titles on a black screen. BFI and the National Lottery, Doc Society. Screen Scotland, Sarja and Alabar. A moving animation of a film reel featuring frames of alternate chickens and eggs. Chicken and egg pictures. A burning ring of fire around a camera lens grows smaller, becoming the letter O in the word hot in the company name Hot Property Films. Three overlapping blue petals spread, revealing a tiger's eye. Tiger Lily 2 Productions. Ella, a medium-billed white woman in her early 20s with short, unusual-looking legs covered by an oversized Italia t-shirt, films herself in her bedroom. She clicks her fingers and taps her foot in time with the beat, then dances expressively to the music.
Beyond the suns that guard this roost, beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns.
She looks at herself in a full-length mirror and thrusts her hips.
Whether the flies and spiders get along together.
Ella moves her arms evocatively to the music as she dances.
Skipping records.
Ella drops her head, her straight fair hair sways as she moves. She rests her hand on her bed and kicks one of her short legs into the air. Ella headbangs. She hangs limp, then flicks her head from side to side. Ella comes to standing. She turns and gesticulates rhythmically. Ella throws her arms in the air, cups her hands to her ears, points to herself and acts surprised. Directed by Ella Glendinning. As the music fades, Ella brings her hands together into a prayer position and bows theatrically. She returns to the camera and stops recording. The screen cuts to black. Title: Is There Anybody Out There? Archive home movie footage of Ella as a toddler with her dad.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas, Grandma Rhoda. Because you can't come here very often, we thought that we'd make you a film of ourselves and our everyday lives, just so that when you want to, you can watch and remember what it's like here. So this is it.
Thank you, Mum.
Okay, we'll follow you.
You said we.
Yeah, me and Grandma Rhoda.
Okay.
Off you go then.
Oh.
Woo.
Ella toddles off, followed by her dad with the camera.
I grew up in a village called Elsing in Norfolk. It was quite magical.
Young Ella stands in a bluebell wood.
Shall I skip?
Yeah.
I was born without hip joints and very short thigh bones.
Excellent. Actually, she's been having an art attack this morning. She's come up with some amazing things.
I knew my body was different, but I didn't give it much thought. I was too busy.
Hello, sweetheart. What are you up to?
Making stories, silly.
What sort of story?
Story about a bear called Caroline.
Young Ella sits in the bath.
Hello. Yeah, go on.
Grinning, Ella carefully rinses her mother's hair over the bath. Present day interviews with Mum and Dad.
Are you happy for me just to go straight in? Do you want me to ask some practice questions?
No, it's all right.
Okay, so there are quite a lot of questions.
Okay. Does Mum get the same ones or different ones?
Same.
Same.
Archive footage of Ella with her mum.
So your diagnosis happened on our first scan. She was a little bit hesitant with some of her information. I had the feeling then, I thought, she's not telling us everything.
Mum bounces young Ella up a flight of stairs.
She said something like, oh, I just need to
check something with someone, and obviously what they were looking at was the length of your femurs.
They had never seen this before. They were in the dark as well, and that was scary.
I suppose I was so focused on, will it go OK? Will there be any other complications? That I almost hadn't thought about how I would actually feel about meeting you. That was the ping of falling in love, because I realised that you weren't just another person on Earth, but you were part of me.
Young Ella smiles proudly, holding aloft a delicate bluebell.
It wasn't until I started school that I realised how the rest of the world sees me.
A black-and-white movie, Todd Browning's production of Freaks.
We didn't lie to you, folks. We told you we had living, breathing monstrosities. You laughed at them, shuddered at them, and yet, but for the accident of birth, you might be even as they are.
In the movie, a woman is chased through a dark, wet forest by a group of disabled people. The screen cuts to black. Present day, Ella lies on her front on the bedroom floor. She gets up off the floor.
I'm used to picking myself up and dusting myself off. I've found ways to celebrate my freakishness.
Ella, now in her mid-20s, heads along a cobbled street in her wheelchair.
But still, that feeling of being the only one in the room, it's all I know.
A child on a scooter passes Ella, fascinated by her and the wheelchair. Ella arrives at Frank's cafe bar. She gets out of her chair and pushes it inside. Ella walks to the counter.
My disability's so rare, I can't find any proper statistics for it. So there is this missing piece of the puzzle in my life, which is that I've never seen another being like me before. And I do feel like a different species. But I have recently discovered this Facebook group for people with similar conditions.
Ella considers writing a post.
And, yeah, I guess this could be my chance to finally meet someone like me.
Ella types onto the Facebook group page, "Is there anybody out there with legs like this?" She attaches a full-length studio photograph of herself dressed all in black, staring directly at the camera, and taps the post button. At home, Ella scrolls through posts and pictures on her laptop. She watches a video of a smiling toddler wearing an orthopaedic leg support.
What I have always known is that it's much more common to have only one leg affected and then have one normal leg. But I'm very much looking for an adult with the bilateral version like me. A lot of the parents in this Facebook group have mentioned this doctor, Dr. Paley. I think he does lots of limb lengthening surgery and stuff like that. I want to find out what type I am, because then I'll have a much better chance of finding someone exactly like me.
Ella's on a video call with Dr. Paley.
Hi, can you see me?
I can see you.
So I'm making this film. I'm just very interested in meeting somebody who's lived a life in a body like mine, and interested in their experiences.
You probably either have a type 2 or a type 3. Going to show you a picture of someone like you.
Oh yeah, please do.
You see this PowerPoint?
Yeah.
There's her legs. That's how she stands. Is that how you stand?
Yeah, that's very like me, yeah.
This is the surgery. I'm going to skip that, but I want to show you after.
He flicks through surgical x-rays.
So after we finish treating her, this is how straight she is.
Post-operation photos of the woman with straighter legs.
It completely changed her life. She doesn't use a wheelchair, she walks everywhere. You know, it's a completely different situation for her.
Deep in thought, Ella locks eyes with Dr. Paley, who smiles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're welcome to email me. All right, Ella.
Thanks
take care.
So much, you too. Bye.
Filming herself on her phone, Ella reflects.
Kind of in shock. Yeah, I'm in a whole different world right now, kind of realising that there could be another way for me, you know. I could get the surgery and things could be so different. But at the same time, you'd have to really want to be different. You'd have to really feel that there was something wrong with you. Her body was so similar to mine in the before pictures. Maybe there isn't anybody like me out there. Maybe they've all had surgery.
Ella films bare-chested, tattooed Scott as he pulls on his socks.
What are you doing?
Just testing out my new camera phone.
So basically, I've decided to keep video diaries to document my searching.
Stop filming me.
But what has actually happened is this.
Ella holds up a positive pregnancy test. She holds the test to her forehead.
The thing is, I'm 26. I do want a baby one day. It's earlier than I'd had in my head. I am very shocked, but it will be a beautiful thing too. So I think that this is going to be okay.
Old video footage filmed by her dad shows Ella's mum on a night out in town.
We're going in.
Inside a busy pub, her mum, a slim woman with short, almost black hair, chats and laughs with friends.
How did you feel when mum got pregnant and how did you find out?
His brow furrows.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Just in shock, reliving it.
Shocked. Scared. Confused. What have I done?
Cheers. And had you thought seriously about having children before?
No.
Morning sickness is in full throttle. I feel very nauseous 24/7.
But I'm still very much on the search for someone with a body like mine.
Ella searches the Facebook group on her laptop.
Lots of people have been in touch now, but I still haven't found anyone where I'm like, yes, those legs are exactly like mine.
A post reads, hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm a 43-year-old woman who was born with PFFD, attached to two photos. One of the woman as a child post-surgery and the other as an adult with longer legs.
I am having a bath. After a long day, I'm on a work placement at the moment. It's specifically for disabled people. I think there's a few people that have been hired, you know, with a view to getting disabled people more integrated within the film and television industry. Nice people. But unfortunately, there's like a baseline ableism with everyone that you meet, pretty much. But there is this recurring thing for me with jobs and with school and with, I suppose, anything. Which is really just that I feel very left out.
Day, Ella drives her car along residential streets.
So I'm 16 weeks pregnant today and I'm finally getting a bump. Yeah, it's actually pretty big now, and I quite like looking in the mirror. I was Googling the other day, trying to find examples of other disabled women giving birth naturally. I didn't find any examples online. The reason I want a natural birth is I think it would be really affirming for me as, like, a human being. I would be really proud of myself. But whether or not the doctors will listen to me is another matter.
At the hospital.
Please mind the doors. Doors closing. Going up.
A woman films Ella.
This is Anne-Marie Lean Verco, my cinematographer. She's the best.
Ella films her.
This is the Oscar-winning shot.
Yeah.
Floor one.
Scott strolls behind Ella's wheelchair as they make their way to a doctor's office.
I see you've got your X-ray films.
Yeah, because I presumed these appointments were mainly to talk about the birth side of stuff. And I would really like a natural birth and kind of have it in my head that I might be persuaded that that can't be possible for me. So I bought this X-ray of me as a baby so you could see what my body's like.
At this stage, there's still a lot of... there would have still been a certain amount of cartilage.
And you've not had any imaging like this since?
No.
OK. So my thought would be that we're probably going to look at doing an MRI for you of your pelvis during pregnancy so we can get an idea of the what we call the diameters.
You know, I'd be really disappointed not to be able to explore my options, so...
Absolutely. And if we can support you to have a normal delivery, then that would be great. But equally, if that's not the right thing, then we'll have a discussion about cesarean.
Yeah. You
know, so,
thanks so much.
Scott slips the X-rays back in their envelope. Ella interviews her mum.
Why am I an only child?
I think... I think you were enough. I think... well, Dad and I split up. I didn't get into another relationship. To be honest, I didn't really want another child. I barely felt I was coping with you a lot of the time.
Nodding to herself, Ella's mum locks her grey-green eyes on her daughter.
The reason I asked that question, the main reason, is because something people often ask me is if my condition is genetic and if my baby will be born with it. We know it's not genetic, but even if it was, I'd probably feel even more bonded to the baby, actually. I've thought that before.
Right, of course.
And some people also ask why I'm an only child, and the implication is that perhaps you didn't want any more children like me. How does that make you feel?
Oh, God, no. If I could have another one like you, that'd be fine. It had nothing to do with your condition whatsoever. That's something I'd never even thought of, but yeah, I guess, yes,
of people course. Ask it all the time, and it's so obvious what they're thinking.
You could just tell them Mum was too fucked up to have any more children.
Well, I just say, I don't know, my parents split up.
Yeah.
Night, Ella and Scott head along a deserted high street together, past lit-up shop windows. Ella, sat in her wheelchair with her bag on the back, reaches out her hand and Scott takes it.
Some feedback that I've been getting quite consistently with this film is that they want more of Scott. I think that they might be looking, subconsciously probably, for a non-disabled hero. When in reality, our relationship is very normal. We met on Tinder, and the rest is history. It's really that boring. I adore him, by the way, but he's not the non-disabled hero. He's just my lovely partner.
Ella's having an ultrasound of the baby.
That's really weird. I can feel him kicking and see it move.
I felt it on the...
That's funny.
On the probe is... Just trying to confirm that for you, the gender. See a scrotum hanging down there between the thighs.
Ella and Scott smile.
I'm starting to see the face. That's the mouth. That's the nose.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see now.
Lying on her back, Ella smiles in wonder at the moving 3D image of her baby. Night, she sits in the passenger seat of a car, staring off in thought.
That's the last time.
Grainy old home movie footage. As a child, Ella and her mum dance with another mum and toddler.
My mum is the most amazing person. She had a fantastic imagination. And she built a magical life for me. When my mum got sober, it was like meeting her for the first time in years. I was about 19, I think, when she went to rehab. It wasn't the first time, because she'd been before and it hadn't worked out, or she'd relapsed. But I remember visiting her in the rehab, and I remember seeing her face. I remember her face so clearly.
standing behind a fence. And she just looked so different. She was glowing when she went and got sober. And she's been glowing for me ever since. How do you feel about becoming a grandparent?
I'm excited at the opportunity to have another little person to love. I think you'll be a great mum, by the way.
Thank you.
Ella types on her laptop.
Good news on the search front. I've managed to track down a woman called Priscilla who has my disability, as she was in a video on YouTube talking about the condition.
My name is Priscilla Miranda, and I work as a makeup artist. The condition I have is extremely rare.
I'm really excited as she's invited me to go and meet her.
Priscilla at work.
But still, I don't feel like I've sort of advanced on my search in a way because, and I know it sounds strange, but because I've still not found someone with a body, like, similar enough to mine, like, what do I want from the search? I honestly think that I want to see my reflection in a different person. Like, I really do want to find someone with a body just like mine.
Night, Sussex County Hospital's antenatal ward. Ella lies in bed wearing a hospital gown. She uses her phone to record her video diary.
It's 1:41 on the 5th of January. I knew there was something not right going on. I felt not right, you know? I think I've got a DVT. I've been in leg pain today that sort of just came out of nowhere.
Daytime in the hospital. Ella is sat up in her bed.
I've been here for a few days now, so it all blurs together. But turns out the blood clots are really extensive. It's very unusual to have them in both legs. And there's sort of no real treatment that's safe for pregnant women. A really nice doctor came and spoke to me. And he said that I should have the baby now at 26 weeks. It really was the worst moment of my life, I think. And it made me realise how much he means to me already, the baby. He's just already everything to me.
The view through the hospital window of Brighton Marina and the English Channel beyond. At home, a cat sits on a pile of clean laundry looking out of the window. Newborn baby clothes hang in a cupboard.
It's Monday the 14th of January and I've been discharged from hospital.
Ella reads a Joni Mitchell biography.
The plan is to keep the baby in until he's stronger, basically, so I will have to have him early, but probably just about a month early, and go into hospital regularly for tests and checkups to see how I'm going. I am a mother now. That's how I feel.
Ella has her blood pressure checked.
Yeah, that's completely normal. Now, looking at the whole picture, so both the MRI results and your blood clots, I think we would definitely now need to plan for delivery by caesarean.
Lovely plan, caesarean.
There are worse things. Good. And we'll do it so that it's nice.
As the midwife writes down their notes, Ella watches her, calmly reflecting. Now, Ella drives back from the hospital wearing dark sunglasses and sleek red leather gloves.
Yeah, I feel really good about having a caesarean and completely over my obsession with a natural birth, which is just interesting. It's sort of ableist of me. Oh, I can't do this physical thing and I'm so down in the dumps about it. It's great now. I feel more and more excited to have the baby.
Daytime at the hospital. Medics in raspberry-coloured scrubs are busy preparing the operating theatre for Ella's caesarean birth. Ella lies on the bed as a doctor checks the baby's heartbeat using a probe on her tummy.
Perfect.
It's really funny for me finding myself in this position. Scott's actually the first boyfriend I've ever had. I've only had girlfriends before now. but the queerness is still within me. I just happen to be with a man, and it is what it is, as they say on Love Island.
Do we know boy or girl?
Boy.
What's
River.
His name?
River. River, yeah.
Ah, like Phoenix.
What have you not been called in the name of River?
Do you want us to lower the drape so you can see him? Now, bit of a Lion King moment.
Yeah, I'd
so
like
you can
that,
see
please.
Him again, get to see him, meet him.
You right? Yeah, I'm just going to go get washed out.
Ella is given an IV injection. A pale blue screen separates Ella and Scott from the medical team. A large operating theatre lamp is adjusted with a blood-covered hand. Ella and Scott clasp hands.
They're the big stretches.
Yeah.
Well done.
How are you feeling?
Okay.
Are they all right?
Yeah, they're okay.
It's just super weird.
Yeah.
Ella's piercing blue eyes search for Scott and she smiles warmly at him.
Did you want the screen down?
Yeah, I
want
to see the baby,
The baby's still in. But having a bit of a wriggle and wriggling their way out. You can see their shoulders coming out.
Come on, put a bit of effort in.
Do you want a bit of a hand?
Oh, hello, sweetie.
She carefully manipulates River's upper body, teasing him out.
They're both shoulders right now.
Can you see?
As River cries, Ella tries to catch a glimpse of her son.
You did that all on your own, or no?
Ella looks a little bemused. The doctor holds River up over the lowered screen.
Scott, did you want to come down?
Oxytocin, please.
Yeah, going in now.
Okay, thank you.
Ella nods and Scott moves round. A midwife hands River to Scott, wrapped in a white hospital blanket.
There you go.
Holding his son in his arms, Scott grins. With the midwife's assistance, he passes River to Ella.
He still feels so shaky.
You got him.
Yeah.
Ella takes River in her arms. She smiles warmly. She delicately kisses him on the forehead. Smiling adoringly, Ella carefully strokes River's head as he begins to suck on his hands. A montage of River's early life. Still in hospital, River sleeps peacefully as Scott yawns wearily. Ella's mum cuddles and rocks her grandson. Ella strokes River's back. Scott plays on a swing with River sat on his lap. Scott watches TV with baby River. Gripping the sides of his cot, River bounces up and down gleefully. Sat in his buggy, River watches in wonder as a cow munches on nettles. At home, Ella and Scott are with River in the living room, which is littered with colourful baby toys. River sleeps in Scott's lap.
Does Naomi have long hair?
Yes.
Ella looks out of the window.
There she is. Oh, yay!
Ella rushes to the front door.
Hello. Hello. Oh, good, how are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, it's Mummy.
He looks at you so adoringly.
He looks at me the same as he looks at everyone.
Like, he's doing it to you now.
Absolutely. You're full of joy. He's such a happy bean. Oh, I love that face. Oh, I love him, Ella. He's so gorgeous.
Have you heard about Elon Musk thing? It's like a brain chip. Elon Musk is, like, baking it up. Like, it could solve autism, and the autistic community is understandably upset.
Well, you should get the brain chip and I should have this surgery from Dr. Paley.
What would you do if I got a brain chip?
Oh, that would be so horrible.
Naomi, a tall, medium-billed woman in her mid-20s with long, fair hair, takes a drink, then checks her phone. Ella feeds River on the floor. Outside, a palm tree is buffeted by the strong wind.
With confirmed cases in over 30 countries, the WHO has officially declared the COVID-19 outbreak a pandemic.
It's really scary times all of a sudden. I am increasingly bothered by the way people talk about the elderly and vulnerable.
you know, I've got a couple of friends who are scared for their life right now. Like, it is not a joke for people who are in the at-risk group.
Ella has scrubbed her kitchen.
I spoke to Naomi earlier. She's saying, is there a way that I can make the film without travelling to meet people? Because, of course, I found myself in River. But when she said that, I realised that the journey was not over and that the journey did not end with River.
River sits by Ella as she films.
Hello, River. I can't actually bear thinking about not going on this journey now. So things can go on hold, but I'm gonna get there somehow.
Ella scrolls through posts on the Facebook page.
Because I'm doing lots of research on this Facebook page, I feel a bit at the moment like I'm constantly bombarded with images of children having surgery, and it's just getting to me now.
A video shows a child walking unsteadily, supported by two older kids. River sleeps peacefully in his cot. Ella sits up in bed, gazing out of the window, breastfeeding River. A video call.
Hey, how's
Hello.
It going? Just wait a second. Dylan, come here. Come and say hi.
Fair-haired Dylan joins her mum.
She's gone all shy.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
She's three.
It's a fine age.
And yeah, as you know, we last week we got told about Dylan's surgery coming up in the 29th of this month. So, yeah, everyone's like super excited for us, and I'm like super not.
So, yeah. What is the surgery? Can I ask?
This longer leg here is like what they're doing is her heel and her ankle are fused together. So they're cutting those and putting them back where they've got to go. Her tibia is bowed, so they want to cut a chunk out of that and put a rod down in to straighten it up. And then they're putting an 8 plate on her knee. And then with her femur, they're cutting it and rotating it and putting plates on it.
Wow, that is hardcore. Because I think for me it's quite simple, like my legs are pretty similar, like one of them is very slightly longer than the other.
She complains a lot about like knee pain, ankle pain, because she's pretty much standing on her ankle just there.
Right.
And that's how she pretty much walks.
It must be so hard because obviously it is so rare. You don't have many examples of this is what it's going to be like after surgery, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing. Like, what happens if it fails or because she's grown, they said that we could have to do it all again.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you sort of feel in two minds about it, or is it you're just scared because it's a horrible thing? You know?
Every time I look at her, I just think of them, like, cutting her legs and cutting her bones and just the pain she's going to go through afterwards. And, yeah. So... I don't know. I'm just so, like, and I feel then if I cancel it, like, I feel a bit like I'm holding her back too.
How could you be holding her back? How would you be holding her back?
You know, like, people are like, yeah, but then she'll be able to walk better and she won't be in pain and she'll be this and she'll be that.
So if she was left without any surgery, would that cause problems throughout life, you think?
They said... Both her legs are pretty bit messed up. Her shorter leg is way worse than the other. So let's give her one decent leg, you know. So she's not completely and totally in a wheelchair.
Unsettled, Ella reflects. Now River's grabbing at fuchsia pink flowers in the park.
Oh, so pretty. Pick one, River. Wow.
The wheelchair has such negative connotations. But for me and other wheelchair users, it's our freedom.
With River strapped to her chest, Ella wheels along a path, navigating bumps in the tarmac. River toddles across the grass, pushing the wheelchair.
River!
Ella heads off in pursuit of her son.
People aren't born with this prejudice. It's learnt.
At home in the kitchen, Ella stands on a box as she washes feeding bottles.
I love and respect my body. Being this way is not the problem.
She moves the box to access another countertop. Wearing a maroon paisley shirt, Ella addresses the camera.
This is just a quick video diary to talk about an upsetting thing that happened yesterday. Someone I'm a massive fan of posted a midget joke on their Instagram. You know, she's saying, ha ha ha, I look like a midget. Ha ha ha, I look like a stupid little person that I don't see as a human being. Anywho, the origins of the word midget are absolutely horrific, vile. But the trauma is what I'm trying to articulate. It's a physical response that I feel when I hear a midget joke. I always feel sick and I always then just want to sleep forever.
Ella takes a deep breath. Downcast, she fleetingly looks away and thinks.
That's it, really.
Home movie footage of young Ella. She heads across the lawn towards the polytunnel greenhouse, followed by her dad with the camera. Animals' hutches are spread around the greenhouse.
It'll be a miracle to catch them.
What, the guinea pigs? Oh, there's one.
Ella strokes a guinea pig.
What was it like for you seeing me grow and knowing things were harder for me?
Heartbreaking at times.
I guess that wasn't a very open question.
So it's even that double take thing? That hurts me. People have to do a double take.
Every new situation I go into, I, like, plan for people's shock.
I know, but that's exhausting. How you've had the resilience to deal with that on a daily basis, I'm full of admiration. It still makes me sad.
Thank you, that's nice of you.
Well, it's December 2002 now. And there's Ella doing a drawing. Hello, Els.
Ella smiles.
Say hello to Grandma Raider.
Say hello, Grandma Raider.
What are you watching?
Games of the Giant Peach.
Is it good?
No.
Oh, why?
Because I've watched it too many times.
Oh, right.
People just stared out of ignorance and rudeness, and of course you want to protect your child, and it's really hard knowing quite how to sometimes.
Archive footage of a home for disabled children. Children sit in beds in the bare-walled dormitory. Disabled children are led through tests and physical exercises.
I think one thing that I've really learnt as I've gone along is how, with a whole variety of disabilities, sometimes the focus from people who don't have those disabilities is what can we do with them to make them more like the rest of us.
Children with crutches.
This program helps these children to take the first big step forward into a world that stresses being normal.
Mary's fixed into a metal rack.
Mary, a patient with curvature of the spine, is having a stretch put upon her entire spine. The patient will remain in this body cast for several weeks to hold the correction gained by the cast.
Home movie footage of young Ella with wild hair drawing at the desk in her bedroom.
Now, today is the 8th of December. We're just about to go into Norwich. But before we go, Ella's just doing an early morning picture.
Ella diligently colours in her drawing of a Christmas tree with green felt-tip pen.
So after you were born, we went through a series of visits to hospitals. And at the same time, I'd started researching on the internet. The focus did seem to be on what are the options, and they often didn't say one option is just to do nothing, you know. So it was like a list of different types of surgery and things like that. And we just looked at them all and thought, God, they all sound so awful. But as far as I could remember, the specialists were saying surgery probably wouldn't help. We were pretty relieved that actually the best thing was just to leave you as you were.
Young Ella bounces contentedly on a trampoline. Now a kite flies in an open sky. Ella, in her wheelchair, takes River in a carrier strapped to her chest along the seafront promenade. Now she helps barefoot River walk across the stony beach.
Having a non-disabled child, I don't have to face these sort of decisions. No one wants to put their child through major surgery. You'd have to be really worried about the consequences of leaving them as they are.
Archive footage.
What things do you like doing at school?
The best subject is history, because I want to be a historian. Well, I haven't really decided about that yet.
What sort of history do you like? Any particular period?
This year we're learning about the Industrial Revolution in about the 19th century and the 18th century.
He plays chess.
See that? There's another queen.
When you look at the future for Kevin, what do you feel that it holds for him?
Well, he'd never be able to get married. He'd never be the father of children.
Do you think he'll ever work?
Well, I have my doubts at this point.
Society's expectations of disabled people are bleak, and many wonder why you bother at all.
The toddlers who come to this day nursery are all handicapped, either physically or mentally, which is why 22-year-old Elizabeth Shields volunteered to help here.
Well, I hope that helping here helps the children, because they see me and how I get about and things.
Do you ever wish that when you were a baby they had decided that you shouldn't live and that you shouldn't be around today?
No.
You're glad to be alive?
Yes, very much so. Super.
The archive footage runs in reverse. Elizabeth wheels back out of the nursery in her chair. Now Ella backs along a high street in her wheelchair. A montage in reverse of the home movie clips. Ella walks back from a door into her mum's arms, who playfully bounces her downstairs. Ella's mum's in the pub, then outside on the street. Now, Ella is driving her car along a country road. The small front wheels on her wheelchair, stored in the car boot, jiggle hypnotically with the car's vibrations. Daytime in the village of Elsing. A picturesque 14th century church stands in the middle of a walled graveyard. Ella takes in the gravestones.
Do you know what you want to do?
Filming?
No. Buried or cremated.
Yeah, I want to be, yeah, similar thing. I want to be buried and just on the ground, I think. I want to be eaten by things.
Ella stands with her hand resting on a bright yellow umbrella.
Not particularly while I'm alive.
She smiles to herself. Ella walks off down a country lane.
Whenever I'm back home, the first person I visit is Naomi. She's also disabled, but her experience is very different from mine.
Naomi brings a bottle of gin into her kitchen.
Oh no! The tonic's obviously not going to be cold.
Oh.
Oh, God!
I didn't think of that. Do you want me to stick it in the freezer?
Yeah.
Naomi puts the tonic in the freezer.
Do you want to open the champagne then?
Okay.
Yeah. Woo! To us.
To us.
Do you remember when I was
wheeling around in your wheelchair. And we were just, like, nowhere near him. It was a big pavement, and he was coming towards us. And, like, from half a mile away, he was just like, oh, sorry, sorry. No, he went, sorry, sorry, thank you, sorry, like that.
I don't remember because all these experiences
have merged one
to the
all the time, all the time, yeah.
Every day.
I just wouldn't leave the house. I don't, you know.
I know, some... Well, good for me. Good for me for getting out there.
What's your list of things you want to...
Oh, yeah, okay, so... But can I talk, like, about your autism? I'm not going to interview you about being autistic, but can I reference it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
It's really different having an invisible disability.
That's on my list!
Yeah, no, it's so different, though. Like, sometimes my sort of strangeness is, like... worse than it is on other days, and on that day I get like the classic sort of disability discrimination, but on a good day I'll get like, you know, like, I don't think you're autistic. I know an autistic person and I don't think you're autistic. And it was like, well, you don't, you know, it's
that's
so
horrible.
Yeah, but it's soul destroying. Yeah. It's so difficult because like I've like lived with this thing my entire life, and it's like, it's such a journey. I used to imagine myself in the future, and I imagined myself as better, you know, and at some point you just realise it's not going to happen and this is it. But that's incredibly freeing at the same time. That's so freeing because it's like, this is it, like, and it's fine. It's wonderful. Like this.
That is so powerful.
Yeah.
Ella sat outside.
Ella, we finished the Prosecco.
That's okay. We can have my lovely gin now.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, God, I hope the glass bottles haven't exploded.
Oh, Jesus, they're in the freezer.
It's okay. They're alive. You go.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask you is, you know, when I was talking about how, like, forever I get this question, what do you do?
Naomi repeatedly flicks her fingers.
What was I?
What do you do?
Yeah, I feel like the entire sort of hatred towards people on benefits is like ableism, largely.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
You have to explain.
I'm on disability. You know, I'm disabled, I have a carer. My carer is my mum, she lives down the road. She lives a minute down the road.
Can I say what I think about this question? Mm-hmm. I have applied for 10 gazillion jobs in adult... No, but I have, like...
Yeah,
I
know,
so
I was
desperate.
With you when you had applied for every fucking job and you got that job at Tesco and you were celebrating...
It was Asda.
No, it was Asda.
It was Asda, goddammit.
You got that job at Asda and you were so thrilled about it, you posted a Facebook status. And then you're like, it was a night shift at Asda and you were like, I am Asda, lady of the night.
They changed their mind.
Yeah.
They changed their mind and they said that they didn't want me anymore and they never really explained why, but I think we know. Why can't you do that stuff? And it's okay if you don't want to answer if you think that's questions worded wrongly.
Because I can't do the thing, like the thing that people put on. I don't have it.
Naomi shakes her cigarette lighter, attempting to light it. Ella refers to notes on her phone.
Is there anything I've ever said about disability that has triggered you?
It's just like times where I felt misunderstood. But I can't remember it. I literally can't remember a specific time. It
makes me so sad.
Yeah, but it's just like, you can't fully understand. It's just the same way I can't fully understand you. I can't fully understand your experience, and sometimes I might say things and it would be the wrong thing.
The two friends sit in the garden smoking and drinking together. Now Ella records a video diary.
I'm starting to think that I might... not actually find someone exactly like me with exactly the same body. I know they're out there, but I know that it's especially rare. If I could meet Priscilla one day when all this
pandemic business is over. That might be as close as I'm going to get, but I'm starting to think, actually, that's pretty close.
A suitcase lies on the floor. The lid opens, revealing River inside.
Unbelievably excitingly, America is going ahead. And not only am I going to meet Priscilla, but I'm going to meet this guy.
Title, No FEMA Kid.
He's actually, like, kind of Insta-famous.
TikTok took down my viral video. It had over 1.6 million likes and over 8 million views. They took it down for adult nudity and sexual activity, which neither was going on in the video. Roll the clip.
Ricardo dances in his TikTok video. He addresses students sat working.
Who here thinks that I'm a sex symbol? Are y'all fucking kidding me? Really? No one?
Yeah, he's very cute, like very handsome. Priscilla is attractive too. So I think this is not going where it seems like it's about to go.
What if I had my femurs? Like, what if I had all my legs? Would y'all think I'm sexier? Like, is that... would y'all think that? Thank you. All right. Dude, thank you.
Anyway, I'm really excited. And we're also potentially going to meet this little boy. So we're all going to meet together. So I'm very excited about that.
Early in the morning, the family leave the house. Ella leads River down the path to a waiting taxi. Ella wears a face covering in the taxi adorned with colourful flowers. Now the family make their way through the busy airport terminal. Toddler River looks out of the aeroplane's window at the landscape below. The family of three drive along a freeway in America. Nighttime.
I'm in a hotel room in Austin, Texas. Tomorrow's a big day. We're going to meet Priscilla. I kind of want to get pissed with her, but I wonder if she won't want that because some Americans aren't so into that as us Brits.
Ella contemplates.
I wonder if she's got pets. I wonder if she's got a garden. I wonder if she lives alone. I know none of these things. I wonder if she... thinks like I do.
Ella's blue eyes wander in thought. Daytime in Texas. Outside the hotel, the cloudless sky is a vivid blue. Inside, Ella gets ready in front of the mirror.
I'm going to put my lucky rings on and then we can go.
Ella's driven along an underpass en route to Priscilla's. She looks nervously through the window, rubbing her chin. Now the car travels along suburban streets.
Turn right, then you will arrive at your destination.
Ella smiles in anticipation.
I'm so nervous.
You have arrived.
The car pulls to a halt outside a single-storey house. Ella gets out.
I'm scared. I wish I could hide behind you.
She playfully backs away as if to hide behind the camera operator. Ella heads to the door.
Hi! Good to meet you. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Nice to meet you.
I was like, I'm not here. Hug me, hug.
They hug.
I'm really nervous.
And I was like, I don't know what to expect, I guess.
They sit together in the living room.
You are the first person I've met, by the way.
Okay, yeah, I was, like, wondering, I was, like, yeah. I know that we had talked about that previously, but I was, like, I don't know if, like, she's met anyone since then, because it was a while ago when we talked.
I mean, my first question was, what has life been like for you?
So, my mom was very, like, when, you know, we'd be out and about and kids would stare or laugh or things like that, she would just be very, like, you know, they don't understand, you know, and explain to me. It's not a you thing, it's a them thing, you know what I mean? Like, they just don't get it. I mean, even till today, I can't go to the store without, like, something.
Yeah. I relate to everything you've just said. I obviously get laughed at, and everywhere I go, people point and shit, but...
Mm-hmm.
And always have done. It's just interesting how that must shape us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I need a glass of wine. It's too early.
Oh my god, can we?
I have wine.
Do you want wine? Some? Yeah. Okay.
Priscilla, a brown woman with thick dark hair, pours wine.
What's your relationship to disability like?
I just didn't use the word very often. I didn't really care to categorize myself as disabled. It's like in weird, silly things, like when I was dating. Like if I met the guy somewhere, I wouldn't park in the handicapped spot, even though it was closer.
Oh my God, do you want to share some of your dating experiences? I can share also if you want, but you go first.
You can go first.
No way! So many. I asked you.
You offered if to go first.
Oh dear. I've had loads of people like being really sexually forward.
Mm-hmm.
But they would never like want to be with me.
Then it goes into that whole, like, do they have a fetish situation kind of a deal, you know what I mean?
The age-old question.
Yeah, and I've definitely had people who are very open about, like, oh, that's a fantasy of mine. And I'm like, I don't care, didn't really want to know that.
Yeah, they think we're just going to be so grateful.
Yes, exactly.
I hate that. Yeah. Could you tell me a bit more about your sort of journey of self-acceptance, because you're very self-accepting now, but you said that you used to not park in a disabled space, and that's like big internalized ableism, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, and to be honest, it took a long time. It took a lot of therapy. just took a lot of time. I kind of just got tired of like trying to please people and thinking of other people when at the end of the day no one was thinking of me. Like in future relationships, I'd rather weed them out quick, you know what I mean? It's a part of who I am.
Yeah, being disabled is a good way to weed out the assholes.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. Friendships and...
Yeah, everything.
Everything, work and in every area, I feel
so
like...
So true.
I think it's a little bit more obvious to me in general.
A quiet street in the town where Priscilla lives. At a restaurant, Ella and Priscilla chat at one of the tables on a terrace on the street. As night begins to fall, the two women pose for photographs alongside trees adorned with fairy lights. Heading back to the hotel in the back of a car, Ella gazes through the open window. Morning. Ella pulls back the curtains in the hotel room. As she gets ready, River charges about mischievously.
Right, car, snacks, wipes, nappies.
She places the items on the bed.
After meeting Priscilla, I actually do genuinely think that I feel a little bit less alone in the world, which is very cool, isn't it? But I will never, ever bring River on a work trip again.
River's eyes twinkle as he hides behind the bed. He pops up and throws a soft toy. The family drive to meet Charlie and his mother, Chelsea. Charlie's a 5-year-old boy with short legs who uses crutches.
Yeah. How are you doing, Charlie?
Good.
What a gorgeous smile.
I could, like, cry talking about when Charlie and Ricardo met.
Yeah.
It's like they were, like, brothers. Like, they know each other forever. Like, his mom and I were just crying. Yeah, we were, like, tearing up. I'm like, this is, like, amazing, you know?
Yeah. Huh.
So this will be the first time since 2019. It's been a while, but we have a picture of them two together on our, like, where our TV is in our living room. And so... We see it every day, so he remembers him.
Nice.
I'm Chelsea.
Hi, Priscilla.
Nice to meet you.
Is that him?
Ricardo's here!
Ricardo arrives. He hugs Charlie.
Happy season. It's so long. What's up? Dang, getting big, man. What's up?
Nice to meet you.
Ricardo.
Hey, thank you so much for coming. Good to meet
you. How's your name?
Ella. This is River. Hi.
The group go for a stroll through the park together.
What a beautiful day in general. Is Charlie the only person with our condition you've met?
Yeah.
Until now.
It's like that. That's kind of like it is right now. It's like a mirror. It's kind of like a mirror.
So I know you're a YouTuber.
Yeah. I did play football back in high school. I ran a marathon as well. And then just last year, I just started a YouTube channel because I wasn't going back to school and I needed to do something.
Tell me more about your life.
Well, you know, growing up, it kind of hurt you as a kid because like everyone else is a certain way. You want to be that way, but you're not. You can't. Nothing you can do to change it. So it's definitely a struggle, but learning day by day to, you know, love myself and love who I am.
Ella nods.
It's kind of cool, like, this past year since I've started a YouTube channel, it's like, now I still get the stares, but now it's like, yo, I love your videos, which is really cool.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What do you think was the sort of turning point for you, or when did you start to love yourself?
Like, I was playing football in my middle school, but I wasn't, like, playing in the games a lot. I loved the sport so much, I would work super hard, but I would never play in the game. So that really bummed me out, and I wanted to quit. So I went to this camp, and met this kid. He was in a wheelchair. I showed him pictures of me playing and a couple of plays that I had throughout the season. And then he said, wow, you play football. I want to be like you. And at that moment, that changed my entire life, because no one's ever wanted to be like me. Not even I wanted to be me, like, ever. I never wanted to be me.
It must be amazing for you to know that you're a role model to Charlie.
Yeah.
How do you think it would have been if you'd had someone like you to look up to when you were a child?
It definitely would have changed my life, I think. Growing up, I didn't see anyone who had a physical disability that was, like, cool, you know, or who wasn't just, like, some corny sob story.
Do you feel like you have a big point to prove?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But, like, it's pretty bad. I wish I didn't have it.
But Priscilla said the same, except that she said she's, like, totally over it now.
But I think it's, like, you just... It's something, like you said, like, it's something that you grow into. Because I do remember thinking, like, is there ever going to be a point when it's not going to matter?
Yeah.
Being a male, you want to be the provider. You want to protect. You want to be the leader. You want to be the warrior. At least I do. I've always just viewed it as I have to work harder, but I probably shouldn't view it as that. I guess that's kind of the social thing that's gotten to me. I mean, healing is never linear. It's always exponential.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm going to get you. You got to go. You got to go faster. You have to win. You have to win. You have to win. Hurry, go win the race. Go win the race. Oh, there you go. Good job. Tired?
I won.
Good job. What? You're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Ricardo splashes water at Charlie.
How has it been for you, like, being the parent of a disabled child?
It really wasn't a big deal. It's just like, okay, oh, this is our life. Like, no big deal. And then he went to school, and I realized how much it affected me when people started picking on him.
It's so hard, because kids are mean.
They are, and they just don't understand. And so I try to tell him, like, you know, we come at a place of education. Like, let's educate them instead of, like, being mean back to them, you know?
Have you had much, like... Has he had any sort of medical intervention? Have you had much contact with doctors? And
they have told us, like, there's not really much they can do, and if we could go to Dr. Paley if we wanted to. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a hard decision. I know. This is, like, actually something that I have fought in my head over with for, like, 4 years now of, like, what's the right thing, is to do medical intervention that takes away a lot of his childhood, or to let him decide when he gets older. But it's going to be a lot of surgeries and a lot of pain and a lot of... And we just...
Yeah, sorry, I'm having a really physical reaction to this conversation.
I am so sorry.
Ella covers her face and sobs.
It's just so hard to know what's sort of necessary, isn't it? But to me, he's just completely perfect. I just think he's
kind of... He is. He really is. It's really hard as a parent to know what you're supposed to do for him, either.
It must be hard, like, the Facebook group that we're both on, it's sort of full of parents discussing the best surgery. And
there's a lot of voices, like, don't you want him to look this way? And I'm like, no, I don't really care. Like, I want him to feel the best he can feel. And I'm not sure what the best... I don't know what the best option is. But right now, no surgery right now is the best option for us.
And 100%.
Yeah. I don't want to take away any of his childhood. And I watch these surgeries, and they go back, and they go back, and they go back. And, like, he's such a fun child. Like, I don't want to change that.
And I'm actually meeting Dr. Paley in 2 days.
Are you?
Yeah, we're going to Florida.
Ella spots Charlie and Ricardo playing.
Anyway.
They're so cute, right?
They are so cute. They're like twins.
I know. It's seriously, when they met, I was like, oh my gosh, you're the same.
You're like the same person.
I'll get here.
Something that's really surprised me just by meeting you guys is
that we're all really different. There's so much diversity.
Every one of you, like, walk differently or have different, like, he has hand crutches. And I'm just like, it is actually just really cool how it's like, y'all are, no one is the same. Everybody is so unique.
Yeah. It is cool.
Chelsea takes photos.
Come on, guys. Let's pose.
They smile.
Okay.
At the airport, a plane taxis along a runway. On board the flight, Ella sits in thought beside Scott and River. Miami Beach, a breeze blows in the hot sun. River, in a swim nappy and pink armband, paddles with Scott. Ella wades further out and takes a swim. Now, Ella reclines on a beach towel on the sand. The sun reflects on the waves as she lies in her rust-brown two-piece swimsuit. Driving back from the beach in the sunshine. Tall palm trees line the road. In the car, Ella fiddles with a chunky gold signet ring embossed with a B. Looking troubled, Ella gazes out of the window deep in thought. Windscreen wipers sweep away rain as the car pulls to a halt. In the gardens across the street, a large model bear holds a sign that reads, "We heal for them." Outside the Paley surgery door, Ella sits waiting in her wheelchair. The walls of the bright corridors in the Paley Institute are decorated with giant pictures of the medical team alongside their biographies. The first one is of Dr. Paley, a tall, smiling, bespectacled white man with greying hair. Ella's led through the building by a man in a grey suit. Ella heads into Dr. Paley's office to wait. She is drawn to the many certificates adorning the office wall. Dr. Paley arrives.
All right, let's go.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
I'm going to put this on. We may have it. Just if they call me from the operating room, I have to respond. Okay, very good.
When I spoke to you on Zoom, it blew my mind to know that there was anything you could do for someone like me.
In the beginning, it was a huge uphill journey. The treatment was worse than the disease. I developed all kinds of open techniques to anatomically reconstruct the joints. Then we could lengthen the bones.
What if I came to you and was sort of desperate to be tall?
You're not a candidate for lengthening. The best option, if you have the type 3, is what's called a rotationplasty. And that is where you turn the whole leg around and you convert the remnant of the knee into a hip joint, and you convert the ankle, which is usually pretty normal, into a knee joint. And you put on a prosthetic. The whole idea is so you can stand at normal height. But you're just not a great case at this age and stage. Usually we do that at age 3. So,
really?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And that way they're that way. They never remember the way they
were. The age of my son, that's so crazy.
It's a lot to go through. It's easier to go through it as a kid.
He smiles.
So how do you balance, like, risk with what's necessary? Because, well, yeah.
It depends how you define what's necessary. I mean, look, everyone could sit in a wheelchair. Everyone could have limited walking ability. But if people want improved function, improved appearance.
I met a little boy with my condition the other day. And the mum was really conflicted as to what to do. He's happy as he is. And, yeah, what do you think about that, and how do you deal with parents who are conflicted?
Look, I've done more than 25,000 surgeries. I rarely ever have a family who doesn't sign up for the surgery with the condition like you're describing. So I suspect that parent, if they came here, would not leave conflicted. It sounds like no one has educated her, and that, to me, is an issue.
It's so tricky, though, isn't it, 'cause he can't consent. He's 5 years old.
That's true.
Yeah, that.
We don't expect children to consent. You know, parents should make an educated decision. And our job is to educate them.
What was your sort of motivation? How come this exact thing?
This was a area that was completely untouched, because all people were doing is amputating limbs, you know, for this. And I felt we should be able to do better. Now it's a whole different prognosis.
Ella heads back along the bright corridor. She waves at the picture of Dr. Paley.
Bye-bye, gorgeous.
She wheels her chair around the corner, through the automatic double doors and onto the path. Outside, in the surgery car park, Ella sits on the curb, smoking a cigarette.
It was really weird because I liked him more than I imagined. He's really interested in what he does and he's really proud of what he does, but it's still rooted in ableism. And I think hearing that I'm sort of a lost cause, but if I was 3 years old, then he could operate on me, is really disturbing because, of course, River's almost three. It just reminded me of why my viewpoint is so important. It's so important for people to...
Ella takes a deep breath.
It's so... It's so... It's...
A train rattles past in the distance. Ella looks at the ground in thought.
I think it's awful. I think it's awful. I think it's awful. It's awful when society should just lower the fucking light switches and then the problem's sorted.
She relights her cigarette. Ella sits on the curb by the car in the early evening light. The breeze ruffles her hair. A night flight. The view from the air shows the city below, glowing with a myriad of specks of light. On board, River and Scott peer out of the window. The family travel by tube. Ella sits in her wheelchair with her back to Scott and River and her arms folded. River's third birthday party with family and friends. Ella brings him a cake.
To you. Happy birthday, dear River. Happy birthday to you.
So I am back from America and I'm feeling pretty low.
River unwraps a present.
You've got little forks, River. Little plates.
He plays with the toy house.
As a society, we're so conditioned into thinking that disability is a fate worse than death. We'll do anything to make our disabled children as close to non-disabled as possible.
Footage from the film runs in reverse.
I'm just incredibly, incredibly sad about ableism, to be honest. It's crushing. But I am also feeling really grateful for the stance my parents took when I was little.
I guess if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But also, I think we were very lucky in that we didn't have that choice or that pressure.
Young Ella holds a bluebell in the woods. Present day, Ella sits in her wheelchair in the woods, carpeted with bluebells. Ella gazes off, lost in thought. She walks through the woods.
My mum talks really fondly of this doctor, Mr. Tucker, who I saw quite regularly when I was very little. And I'm curious to see for myself why she has such fond memories of him.
Ella and Mr. Tucker, a smartly dressed bespectacled man in his 70s, sit together looking at notes and later x-rays.
I love this one. Unfortunately, despite several attempts, Ella refused to be scanned.
That's so typical.
Yes, so that is my friend. So that's 1984, so that's...
When I was two.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, that's... I remember them.
Do you?
Yep, yep.
You remember them?
Well, what you had, Ella, is pretty uncommon. People classified, but I'm never quite sure whether the good Lord has got the same template. I'm not sure. You know, everybody tries to classify it and pigeonhole this one, that one, that one. But it is actually a range of conditions. And we artificially cut it off in sort of four or five bits.
Have you heard of Dr. Paley?
He's a
surgeon in America. I mean, a lot of the children on this Facebook page, they're having surgeries all throughout their childhood. To make walking around easy.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, that was always an option.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You've got to remember that it's not just bones in your leg, it's arteries and particularly nerves. That's where the risk is in any of these massive operations, which would take a lot of getting over. Well, I can't remember what I said to your mum, but surgeons do show the x-rays at least to their colleagues to say, look, I think we shouldn't be doing anything here. What do you all think? You want to get it right. Now, it isn't ideal, and I know that you'll find it, you wouldn't be able to reach that light switch there. But, well, maybe just.
I can.
Just, okay. But, you know, there are challenges, aren't there?
Yes, certainly.
And it would be lovely not to have those challenges. And the question is it so important to take all that risk? And that's the balance you're having to make.
My viewpoint is that the whole of society should change to accommodate disabled people rather than disabled people.
Well, I'm on your side with that.
Yeah, I know, I can feel that you are.
You're going to enjoy life, aren't you? You've got a son and who's going to be a challenge in every possible way, because growing children always are. You seem to me incredibly well adapted to the whole thing. and you've got a smile on your face, which is pretty important.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it is hard being different, of course it is.
But then it's what is normal. Normal is a statistical concept, and that's all there is to it. No such thing as normal.
Mr. Tucker shares a grin with Ella. Footage of Dylan.
Where are you going? So, the update on Dylan is, since the first surgery, she's had three more, and Dylan actually got her little leg foot amputated. How do you feel about your prosthetic leg?
Dylan gives a thumbs up to camera.
She still uses a powered wheelchair to get around, and she is happy, healthy, walking around as much as she can. Thanks for hearing our story, and I'm sure there's a lot to come.
Archive footage. Kevin is eyeballed by a line of children as he's pushed past them in a wheelchair. A girl unfastens a strap around Kevin's body and he gets out of his chair.
Now we're going to talk about being alone. I want you to think about being alone. I'll tell you what we'll do. Close our eyes.
Kevin and the others in his class do as instructed.
All right. Did you see anything, Kevin, around about you?
Just black, sir.
It was just black.
And misty.
Black and misty.
Kevin, now in his early 60s, waves to Ella on a video call.
Hello.
I was really, really, really excited to find you on Facebook. And I wanted to ask you how your life's been, really, and did you become a historian?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's quite a loaded question, really. How's your life been for the last 60 years? Because you've probably seen a video where my mother said, you'll never have a job, you'll never get married, you'll never have kids. And actually, I wanted to do politics. But in the early 80s, the universities were completely inaccessible. I was really disheartened, you know, because I really wanted to do a degree after my A-levels. But it was 1981, which was the first International Year of Disabled People. But there's one disabled friend who, and she said, I'm going to a meeting next week, come with me. It's about disability rights. I said, oh, no chance, it'll be full of wheelchairs. And she said, what the hell do you think you're sitting in a bloody Batmobile? Come along, you miserable sod. So then I threw myself into the disability politics, and had joined the most radical organisation of the time, which was DAM. Uncle from myself to trains and buses. We did Downing Street, where we chucked red paint all over Tony Blair's gates when he was threatening to cut disability benefits, and it was brilliant. Crazy times, but yeah, I don't do anything by halves.
Sorry. Oh dear.
Hello.
Mummy's in a meeting. This is Kevin. This is my son, River.
Hi, River. Good to meet you.
How did it feel proving your mum wrong? Was it something that you consciously were striving for, or did it just sort of happen?
I think it probably was, because I hated the early documentaries and their negativity. I don't know. I mean, it was something I wanted to do anyway. I was determined, you know, to live, basically. But it was good demolishing all those negative things as well.
Yeah. Oh, River.
Kids, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be late. I'll do it the lazy way. Alexa, make an announcement.
What's the announcement?
Children, Dolly, come in. Ella wants to say hello. Move in, Ange.
Okay, I'm in.
Can we hold him?
Lovely to meet you. You look very smart in your tie.
She loves school.
Do you? What do you like at school?
I like doing maths.
Maths?
Maths. I don't like maths. Too hard. Thank you so much for chatting with me. Have a lovely evening.
Bye.
Kevin grins proudly as his wife and two children wave happily to Ella. Now, Ella climbs into her car on a sunny, cloudless day. She hits play on the stereo, puts on her Ray-Ban sunglasses and pulls away. Don't you know you're queen? Being disabled in this ableist world is brutal. But I wouldn't change a thing. She drives along a country lane, the bordering hedgerows bursting with creamy white flowers.
I realise I am quite shocking to see. I'm a shocking sight. My body is quite shockingly different. And it's human nature to be shocked by someone that looks really different. But it's what you do next that matters. It's the way you treat someone after you're over the shock, I think.
Good morning, Mr. Abbott.
Morning, Joyce.
Can I have the pension, please?
Yes, certainly.
I do mix with normal people, but I would rather mix with my own sort of people, the small people, or disabled people like myself.
Archive footage of Joyce, a middle-aged white woman of short stature. She drives a blue Mini.
When we go on holiday together, we have fun and jokes, and I enjoy life to the full.
The pedals in Joyce's Mini have been extended, so she's able to reach them. Now Ella drives her car with Naomi beside her.
Left or right?
Naomi holds up her right hand.
No. That way? Yeah, that way.
They travel along a road leading towards the seafront.
There is no other me.
They head down to the beach.
And disabled kinship is the key to disabled joy.
You know, I thought there were all these different types of my condition. There is no type. Like, I don't feel like I need to search anymore. And I'm just so grateful that, yeah, I found you in my teens.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
Yeah, we have.
Naomi and Ella head off together along the beachfront in the sunshine.
Einstein was autistic. The guy who invented Pokemon, he was autistic. Nikola Tesla. The world would be worse off without disabled people.
The screen cuts to black. In Memoriam, Karen Bethel, 1963 to 2022. Directed by Ella Glendinning. Produced by Janine Marmot. Sound designer and dubbing mixer Adam Wood. Colorist Ben Mullen. Online editor David Leishman. Graphics and VFX Sirius FX. Archive researcher Katie O'Mahony, consulting producer Jane Ray and Cat Flap Media. The end credits. Audio description by Ginger and Blue.